This is a Forwardly podcast.
Welcome to Grief Talks, Hope Answers with Dr. Melanie Beam, where we equip you with the tools you need to foster growth and recovery during difficult times.
Welcome to Grief Talks, Hope Answers. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Beam, and welcome back to another episode of our podcast. Today, we're going to talk about social anxiety to social butterfly in 90 days. Does it sound impossible? Maybe you think, you know what? I am not exactly a social butterfly. Well, that's okay. I'm glad you're tuning in today. Because of all the struggles, it's possible that social anxiety is the most common. Social anxiety is the fear or apprehension that you'll be judged negatively by others in a social situation. It also might seem harmless, but it can have a profound effect on many parts of our lives. Social anxiety can have a negative impact on our careers, our social life, our education, even our intimate relationships. Severe social anxiety may require professional assistance, but there are many things that we can do to help ourselves. You learn to be fearful in social situations. You also can teach yourself to be more comfortable in social settings. Plus, with an effective plan, you're going to be able to see a difference within the next 90 days if you take some of these helpful suggestions and guidance and put them into practice. If you're currently experiencing social anxiety and lack the social life you desire, you have everything necessary within you to enhance your social life and, hey, your sense of well-being. People tend to dwell more on negative things than on good things. So the mind then becomes obsessed with those negative things, with judgment, guilt, and anxiety. So what we want to do today is kind of focus on some of these areas that maybe you'll be able to identify yourself, maybe your situation, your unique and individual situation, and see if any of these helpful hints will be beneficial for you. The symptoms of social anxiety. How social anxiety is experienced can vary from person to person. The differences between individuals can be quite striking. The only common experience is one of discomfort. How does social anxiety feel to you? So let's look at a few of the common physical symptoms that a person might experience. One is nausea, that sense of feeling sick to your stomach. Maybe trembling. You know, it could be a sense of feeling like your whole body is out of control. Or rapid heartbeat. That's very common among people who struggle with social anxiety. Another one is dizziness. You may feel like you need to sit down, or you may feel unstable on your feet. Or maybe you've experienced sweating profusely, you know, feeling like your temperature is rising very quickly and you feel a little discombobulated. However, the symptoms aren't just physical. There can be psychological symptoms too. Anticipatory anxiety regarding social situations that can occur weeks before the event could look something like skipping work or school, avoiding social situations altogether. Maybe you have some friends who invite you out for a night on the town and you may think, you know what, that is absolutely too much social interaction, and so you want to avoid that. Or maybe you have a worry of embarrassing yourself in front of others. You don't have to let these symptoms affect you negatively. Choose to accept your discomfort. Acknowledge that you have a discomfort. And then let's look at some ways that maybe we can begin to work with that. There are several strategies that we're going to talk about today that I hope you're going to find helpful. Tom Hooper gave a great quote that I want to share with you right now. He said, "I think we all have blocks between us and the best version of ourselves, whether it's shyness, insecurity, anxiety, whether it's a physical block, and the story of a person overcoming that block to their best self. It's truly inspiring because I think of all of us are engaged in that every day. And I think that's such a great way to exemplify social anxiety as like a blockage and really keeping us from being the best versions of ourselves. And so that is something that I want you to take into consideration today. What does your situation look like? If you struggle with social anxiety, I want you to really look at your situation in your unique and individual way and really identify how does it affect your life. Now, the causes of social anxiety often start at a very young age, and it's believed to have both genetic and environmental components to it. Some people are more likely to feel anxious than others, but we all have the potential to be more confident and comfortable. And a few suspected environmental causes might include your family dynamic. Maybe you were bullied at school, or there could be a possibility that you have encountered some abuse in your life. There's also negative social experiences that might have occurred, and even incorrect assessments of certain situations. And it could be possible that causes don't even matter. Some of us have brains that learn quite quickly. One negative experience can result in avoiding that same experience in the future. And being intelligent isn't always an advantage. Consider if you made any hasty judgments in your youth. Or consider your past. Can you see any negative experiences from your childhood that affect your ability to comfortably relate to others? Luckily, you're all grown up now, and you can make your own choices. These experiences no longer have to affect your behavior and your feelings. Charles Spurgeon once said, "Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength." And maybe you feel that way today, that your anxiety has become a burden. And maybe you feel like it's robbing you of having a better quality of life. So how do we lessen that social anxiety? That is a million-dollar question, wouldn't you think? If social anxiety is largely a learned behavior, it only makes sense that you can learn a new way of reacting to situations that currently cause fear and anxiousness. Now, there are several strategies that can lessen or eliminate social anxiety. Are you willing to be a little bit brave today? Because guess what? That's all it requires. And I'm here to make that first step with you so you're not alone. We might not be in the same location right now, but if you can listen to the sound of my voice today, I'm right here with you, coming right alongside of you to help you navigate through these steps today. So let's try these techniques to minimize your social anxiety. So let's look at the first one. Be logical. Sounds kind of simple, right? But looking into the future and expecting the worst is the cause of anxiety. You must be expecting something bad to happen. Otherwise, how could you feel bad about something that hasn't happened yet? And you know, I think we all can identify with this because at some point or another, we have faced situations that looking into our future, maybe we didn't have a bright outlook. You know, maybe we were being negative. So I want you to ask yourself today, what is the worst outcome that is likely to happen? Now, can I let you in on a little something? The key word here is likely. So what's the worst outcome that is likely to happen? That's a little bit harder to answer, right? Okay, so let's look at another question. What impact would that truly have on you? And then thirdly, do I have a reason to really be anxious? That's a great question, right? Another question I want you to pose to yourself. Are all of these people really interested in my life? Or are they more likely to be concerned with their own lives and their issues? Because oftentimes we get so hung up on what other people may think of us that we forget that maybe they're too busy concerned about their own issues and we're worrying about something that might not even have any credence. Also ask yourself, what am I actually risking by attending an event? What do I really have to lose? But what do I have to gain? And then the last question I want you to think about. What will your life look like in 10 years if you don't enhance your social life and your ability to deal with others? That's a pretty heavy question, right? But I really want you to think about, in 10 years, if you don't do anything to enhance your social life or your ability to deal with others, what could your life look like in 10 years? That's pretty powerful when you think about that, especially when you're looking into your future, that if you don't change the pattern or the pathway that you're on now, how can it affect your future 10 years from now? Let's look at another helpful hint, being mindful. Being mindful is all the rage these days. You hear it everywhere you go, especially in mental health. But what is being mindful about? Honestly, it's paying attention to your present while being accepting of your thoughts and feelings. It's really about being in the here and now. And notice how clever this is. If you're only thinking about the present, the future is absent from your mind. It's not possible to worry about something that you're not thinking about. Does that make sense to you? That really is eye-opening. Because honestly, if you can understand that if you're being mindful of your present and thinking about right now, you are shifting that focus off of worrying about the future and putting that focus on the present and what's happening right now in your life. Your life is happening this second. You can only live your life in the present moment. All the time spent worrying is basically lost. So being mindful can be used during socially stressful situations too. When you're starting to feel stressed, acknowledge the sensations that you're feeling in your body. You know, are you feeling nauseous? Are you feeling dizzy? You know, what is it that you're experiencing in that moment? Isn't that interesting? My heart sure is beating quickly. If you feel your heart racing, that's a great way for you to acknowledge what you're experiencing. Or maybe you could say, isn't that interesting? I'm starting to feel a little bit nauseous from this. Stay focused on your environment and your current activity. If you're talking to someone, focus on their words and on their face. You know, make eye contact with them. And by focusing on your environment, you can stay out of your mind. And being mindful, it does require practice, but it can enhance every aspect of your life. So I really want to encourage you to really think about being mindful in that present moment. When you begin to start feeling those feelings beginning to bubble up, that's your moment to really acknowledge what you're feeling and then be mindful of your present situation. Also, breathing. This is something that I absolutely enjoy when I'm working with clients. You know, it's questionable whether anyone can learn to control their heart rate or their blood pressure or their tendency to sweat. However, you can certainly control your breathing. You can hold your breath, breathe faster or slower, and control the depths of your breaths. But here's what I want to look at. Slow, deep breaths are effective at lessening the physical symptoms of anxiety. When you're feeling stressed, take that deep breath, slower breaths, and see what happens. And honestly, if you need to find somewhere to sit down, kind of center yourself, and then just begin to breathe. if you have a little privacy, try incorporating relaxation techniques with your breathing. Close your eyes while taking a deep breath. Flex and relax each muscle in your body. And start at your toes and move all the way up to your face. If you use these strategies each day, soon you're going to turn them into habits that are going to lessen the amount of generalized anxiety that you may feel. And one thing that we do know is that typically it takes about 21 days to develop a new habit. So I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you today to begin to try these breathing techniques, that any situation that you may feel a little tense, that you may feel a little anxiety, I want you to begin to utilize these breathing techniques. And after 21 days, you're going to find that consistently using this as a go-to method is going to literally become a new habit. But these techniques may not be enough to lessen your anxiety in certain situations. It's a lot like golf. Being great at putting doesn't necessarily translate to being great with a driver. However, lessening your overall anxiety provides the mental space needed to attack the individual parts of your social life. David Burns once said, "Practically everybody knows what it's like to feel anxious, worried, nervous, afraid, uptight, or even panicky. Often anxiety is just a nuisance, but sometimes it can cripple you and prevent you from doing what you really want to do with your life." And he said, "But I have some great news for you. You can change the way you feel." And I absolutely love that encouragement, because he acknowledges the fact that, you know what, sometimes we feel what we feel, and that's okay. But what are we going to do with it, right? That's what I always say all the time, is what are we going to do with those feelings? And the idea is that we want to begin to implement some small but effective changes that are going to allow us to be able to change how we feel, especially in those circumstances where we feel like sometimes things might be a little bit out of our comfort zone. It's unlikely that anyone can eliminate all fear associated with an activity or a situation without facing that situation directly. That means you're going to have to make yourself uncomfortable to see improvement. And I know that it can really be uncomfortable to hear the word uncomfortable, but sometimes we want to be able to stretch ourselves and grow and be able to move into the next level of our life and have that sense of well-being, have a great quality of life. And fortunately, you can minimize the discomfort. But guess what? Baby steps are the key. Expose yourself to the situations that you fear. So create reasonable social goals. Now, hear me well. I want you to create reasonable social goals. Reasonable is a function of your starting point. If you can't talk to a woman without feeling as if you're about to have a coronary, a goal of dating a supermodel in the next 90 days is probably too aggressive at this time. So set a few reasonable goals that focus on improvement rather than perfection. Walking up to a stranger and asking for directions comfortably could be a reasonable goal for some. And I think this is a great way to start, is that if you really do have a struggle with approaching people to start a conversation, especially in big social gatherings, then start small. That's where this is such a great way for you to be able to implement these helpful hints in very small baby steps. So walk up to a stranger, simply ask, "Where's the local Starbucks at?" This is a great start. And when you do that, I want you to remind yourself that this is a huge win for you. And then create a hierarchy of tasks based on the stressfulness of the situation. So let's stick with that goal of asking a stranger for directions. consider the steps that you could take to achieve this goal with a minimal amount of stress. So here's a great way to look at it. So let's just break it down into steps. Step one, walk around the mall and make eye contact with 100 people that you pass. Or maybe you're out on the street, downtown, walking around. Every person that you walk by, make eye contact with them. And maintain your idea of being mindful, being in the present, and utilize your deep, slow breathing techniques. So then let's take it to step two. Maybe you're walking around the mall, or maybe you're walking down Main Street. Make eye contact and smile directly at as many people as you possibly can. This is a great way for you to be able to interact with people. But see what we're doing? It's such a slow start, but it's such a powerful outcome. And when you do this, guess what? This is another win. So now let's take it. Step three. Do the same thing that we did. We're walking around. We're making eye contact with as many people as we can. But now let's add in saying hi to each person that you pass by. If you do this with 100 people, you can be very certain that at least one person is going to engage you in conversation. But do your best. And the idea is that you are making those first steps on that pathway to overcoming your social anxiety. But it's somewhere to start. Then in step four, we want to go ahead and do exactly what we were doing in step three. You're going to say hi to each person that you see, make eye contact. But you're also going to ask, where is your favorite place located? Maybe you are looking for a coffee shop. Maybe you're looking for a retail shop. The idea is that we want you to be able to engage people on a very basic manner. There can be many more steps involved. If you're anxious about using the phone, the first step might be to look at the phone for 2 minutes. Maybe making a phone call and talking to someone that you do not know is terrifying. Well, the idea is that first step, pick up your phone and just look at your phone for about 2 minutes. The next step might be hold it in your hand and dial that number. How quickly you move to the next step is up to you. If you wait until you're 100% comfortable, it's going to take you a long time to be successful. If you rush, you're going to be miserable and will quit before you're successful. So monitor your feelings of anxiety and then move forward accordingly. Keep attacking additional goals until you're able to stay comfortable in all situations that are meaningful to you. And remember, set goals for yourself, but set reasonable goals. And then keep records. You can call it a journal. That's the way that I like to approach it, is I love journaling. But keep records of your anxiety as you work towards your goals. And the easiest way is to assign a value of 1 to 10. And let 10 be highly stressful and 1 be the most minimal of stressful. Avoid being upset because your anxiety level is still a 7 after a month of work. Instead, I want you to be excited because guess what? You started out as a 9 and now you're at a 7. This is amazing. You have got progress here. So keep that in mind, that that is a huge win for you. And let's look at and focus on the positives of how you have progressed forward. You'll quickly learn when you can move on to the next step in your anxiety hierarchy. Avoid worrying about the things that you can't control. That is often a real struggle for a lot of us, is that we will worry about things that we have absolutely no control over. And there are going to be many things that you cannot control. So why worry about sweating, the mood of others, the fact your ears might be too big or you think they are? you have the ability to change your reaction to stressful social situations by slowly increasing your exposure to them. And that's why I always like to say, start small and be patient with yourself. You're going to be surprised where you end up in just 90 days if you make these small improvements each week. So what about building social confidence and self-esteem? They are really the core of becoming a social butterfly. Removing your anxiety creates a neutral condition that will allow you to build your social confidence. And building your social confidence will also help to lower the social anxiety that still remains. There are many ways to build your social confidence and self-esteem. The first one is make a list of your positive qualities. If you think you don't have any, ask your mom. I guarantee you she's going to have something positive to say. Or ask your best friend. Even the people you don't like have a quality or two that they like about you. The average stranger would like several things about you. Make a complete list and then refer to it whenever you're feeling down about your social skills. It's so easy to constantly create negative talk about ourselves, but it takes effort to begin to turn that negativity into positivity. Make a complete list and refer to it whenever you're feeling down about your social skills. But I want you to remind yourself of how great you are. Latch on to your sociable friends. I know you've got one. Which of your friends is the most outgoing? Hey, even spend time in social situations with that person. You'll feel more comfortable and might even make a friend or two in the process. Then let's take control of that self-talk. Just like I was talking about earlier, if you tell yourself 1,000 times each day, I'm a socially confident person and other people would love to spend time with me, guess what? You're going to start to believe that. I know it might sound ridiculous at first, but that's okay. You got to start somewhere, right? Just as importantly, you won't have room to say anything negative to yourself. And that's where we want to turn that negativity into positive self-talk. And relax. Take it easy on yourself. If you take any single interaction too seriously, it's going to feel like it turns out poorly. People have busy lives. They're much too preoccupied with themselves to spend a lot of time thinking about what you may be thinking. Take the pressure off and prepare yourself beforehand. You have a party on Friday night, maybe at your boss's house, and you have to attend. What can you do to prepare yourself? Well, let's think about it. Who else is going to be there? That's the first question I would ask myself. And then I would think, out of these people, who am I comfortable around that I could talk to? Then I might ask myself, can I take someone to remove some of the social pressure? So maybe I have a friend or a significant other or spouse. We all have a friend that can't seem to stop talking, right? Hey, let's take that person along because guess what? They're going to have conversation no matter what scenario they're in. And visualize being socially comfortable and successful at that party. Begin to see yourself being comfortable and having great conversations. You can even have a list of topics to discuss. Maybe Mary has 6 kids and John loves to fish. Well, at that social gathering, you could ask Mary about her large family, and you could share a few fishing stories with John. Make a list of your successes. You might not be confident yet about your social skills, but you are confident about other things. Make a list of your successes and the things that fill you with feelings of confidence. What is it that you enjoy? What are you naturally good at? Think about those things because that's going to provide you with that confidence. Review the list on a regular basis, and the confidence you feel will begin to kind of leak in to other areas of your life. Now, here's one that I really want you to take advantage of. It's simply smiling. That's easy enough, don't you think? Smiling can enhance your mood, and it'll increase your relatability to others. And have good eye contact while you're at it. And watch your posture. You may want to stand up straight. If you act confident, you're going to feel more confident. And many experts believe that your mood follows your physiology. Standing up tall and maintaining good eye contact with others will instill those feelings of confidence, and it will really give you a sense of comfortable confidence. Celebrate your victories, no matter how small. If you have to be the most social person in the world to be happy with yourself, there's not much chance you're ever going to be happy. Anytime you perform better than you did in the past, take the time to congratulate yourself. You earned that. And anytime you do something you've avoided in the past, celebrate that too, because guess what? That's a huge win. Greater levels of confidence and self-esteem open the door to enhancing your social life. You may have many qualities and successes that make true confidence possible. You've already dealt with much of your anxiety, so build the confidence and self-esteem needed to take the next step. So how do you build an exciting social life? Create an exciting social life might seem impossible, but you do have a couple of huge advantages on your side. There are many, many different types of people in the world, and many of those people would like to enhance their social life too. You have all the advantages you need. The only missing ingredient is a plan. So create an exciting social life from scratch. Let's look at a few techniques. Join a club. Find a club based on an activity that you enjoy, and you'll probably find people you enjoy there too. Get back in touch with old friends. Busy lives result in losing track of each other. It's so common. And reach out to some of the friends you no longer see on a regular basis. At least one of them is going to be thrilled to hear from you. And who do you know locally that might like to spend time with you? It could be an old friend, maybe a cousin, a former neighbor, even a coworker. Maybe it's the person that used to cut your grass or clean your pool. Take part in new activities. New actions result in meeting new people. So join a gym or an exercise class, or volunteer at a local charity or a concert. You might want to avoid solo activities that you use to avoid leaving home. This most often can include the television and the internet, and I know it's really easy to sit in front of the TV in a comfy couch and watch Netflix for 8 hours. But no one improves their social life by watching TV alone. Talk to a new person each day. There are people all around you. There are people waiting in line near you at the store and sitting next to you while you wait for the bus. Not everyone will become your new best friend, but the odds are on your side that you'll hit it off with someone. You could even start a meetup group. You can choose the emphasis of your group and get together with like-minded people on a regular basis. You know, make the club about something that you enjoy, whether it's a wine club or a book club. Maybe you love wine tasting or exercise. It's totally up to you. Throw a party. If you're not invited to many parties, you're probably not hosting parties either. You have a friend that's great at hosting parties. Let them help you with that first party or two. Also, utilize social media. Guess what? It's called social for a reason. Reach out to new people and add friends of friends to your friends list. Post interesting things and people will pay attention to your posts or tweets. Ask if anybody wants to go to the movies on Saturday. And you can get out of the house. The more you go out, the more likely you are to meet people that really resonate with you. Now, I know these are just a few of the things you can do to build your social life, but I want to challenge you and encourage you that over the next 90 days, focus on adding social activities like these into your life. Social lives are kind of like gardens. Your social life needs regular attention or it will wither and die. So be proactive and your social life will blossom. So how do you make friends if you found yourself in these situations? Well, maybe after these 90 days, you find yourself no longer as anxious as you used to be. You have a little bit more confidence. You're doing the necessary things to build your social life. But do you know how to make friends? Making friends is a skill that fades away after spending too much time alone. And with the advent of COVID over this last year, I think a lot of people have found that as an opportunity to really just say, you know, I'm going to stay at home and I'm going to isolate. And I think that maybe parts of society have lost that interaction. Your social calibration gets a little off and your interactions can be a little odd to others. So fortunately, making friends is simple to master as a skill. Your mom in kindergarten taught you nearly everything you need to know about making friends. So let's talk about some tips that we could use if we wanted to add more friends into our circle. Be nice. The first one. How simple is that? Simply be kind to others. Treating others the way you would like to be treated is a great first step. Maybe you share an opinion. Your opinions make you unique and interesting. Then you could create a life that excites you. When you're excited about your life, others are attracted to you. What excites you isn't important. The fact that you're excited and willing to discuss it appeals to people. So think about what is it that you really enjoy, that you're passionate about, and be relaxed and confident. If you're too aggressive or anxious, others can feel uncomfortable. Most people enjoy being around laid-back, confident individuals. So we're going to smile. We're going to make sure we have good posture and that our nonverbal communication is in check. And maintain eye contact. That is so important. But we want to be trustworthy. We want to do what we say we're going to do. Let people be confident that you can be trusted. Keep your word and behave in a way that fosters trust. And that really we could pair with being sensitive to others. Having social intelligence is largely about recognizing and responding to the emotions of others. But I do want to caution you, avoid being a doormat. Avoid being so accommodating that other people feel like they can take advantage of your goodwill. You can't have a friend that doesn't respect you, right? Help others, but limit how much damage you're willing to do to your own life. And put yourself out there and make as many friends as your life can handle. For some of you, that may be one person. You may be adding one individual into your friend circle. That's huge. For some of you, maybe you're adding 10, 15 people into your circle. That's huge. There are no small steps here. These are great wins for you. And so I want you to really think about that. So in conclusion, social anxiety is common to everyone. Even the most confident people feel anxious in certain social situations. Social anxiety in all situations, though, can affect other parts of life. It can negatively influence your career, your social life, even your romantic life. While social anxiety can be uncomfortable, there are many tools to minimize the discomfort and gain greater confidence. Creating an exciting social life requires regular work and attention, just like that little garden. Ignoring your social life is the quickest way to kill it. You've been close to many people throughout your life. Begin building your network of friends by reaching out to those people with whom you've lost touch with. And think about what it takes to be a good friend. And take action to be that friend. You can take control of your social life. All that's required is a plan and commitment. So for the next 90 days, make it a point each day to get out of the house. The best things in life include other people. With time and effort, you can have a social life that would make anyone jealous. I want to say thank you for joining me today. I hope that some of these helpful hints and suggestions and guidance will allow you to be able to look at your unique and individual life and the struggles that you may be facing with social anxiety. And if anything touches your heart today, that you would say, you know what? Today is the first day of the rest of my life.